You're listening to SBS News.
For Bali bombing survivor Peter Hughes, anniversaries like this one are triggering.
Oh, look, I think the 20 years is quite significant in terms of the Bali bombings. I think that this year, more than most, is the fact that I've made it to 20 years. So looking back 20 years ago, I probably wasn't going to make 2 days.
The builder from Perth was out at Paddy's Bar on Cooter's busy nightclub strip when an explosion violently shook the building's foundations. Thinking it was a gas explosion, he walked with others to evacuate onto the street.
You know, if I had known it was a bomb, I would have run, I reckon, the first time. But the second time when the car bomb went off, I couldn't get out of the place basically quick enough. But the problem I had was once I got up and I realised I had a pretty bad injured leg. I felt like I had cuts all over me and I had a couple of burns, but there wasn't a lot of fire at that stage.
The then 42-year-old was taken to the local hospital with burns to more than 50% of his body. Mr Hughes says he knew that he would die without help.
I'm lucky to be here. I don't take it for granted. I understand that each day I live is important to me and also to the people that didn't come home. It's important for them to not be forgotten.
202 people were killed in the first Bali bombings and hundreds hurt. With local health services overwhelmed, a plan was set for defence to fly injured Australians to Darwin. Professor Len Attaris was the head of the Royal Darwin Hospital at that time.
Looking at it on a piece of paper, you'd think, good God, you're not going to try and do that here. Royal Darwin Hospital had a dinky emergency department, for want of a better word, 2 resuscitation beds, 4 burns beds in the surgical ward, just 4 burns bed, 1 general surgeon with skills in burns, but a number of generalists, nursing, medical, allied health, who could turn their hand to just about anything.
As the closest major centre to Bali, the Royal Darwin Hospital would need to step up as a forward-receiving hospital, treating, resuscitating and triaging patients so they could better survive the hours-long journey to the larger southern hospitals. Associate Professor Didier Palmer was head of the emergency department at that time.
The Royal Darwin Hospital at that point was a regional hospital. So this isn't just ED, this is the whole hospital. We were an unaccredited emergency department with, at that point, 3 or 4 consultants.
Preparing the Royal Darwin Hospital for the national disaster response was challenging. There was no information on the number of injured. Associate Professor Didier Palmer says they reached for the hospital's disaster plan that had been designed to respond to cyclones.
We developed mechanisms for unidentified patients because in a disaster, you don't have time to work out people's name and date of birth, and often people are unconscious. So we have a system whereby we allocate them a specific set of identities and a specific hospital number, and that follows them through so we can get blood and do all our investigations and track them through the entire system. So we had that at the outset.
Dozens of injured were flown into Darwin by defence crews, arriving almost 24 hours after the bomb blasts. One person died in transit. A man with severe burns died in intensive care shortly after arrival. Professor Diane Stevens says everyone on board the first plane load was suffering life-threatening injuries.
When patients arrived, we had to do limb-saving and life-saving procedures immediately. So we were doing, so when limbs are burned, they can swell such that it cuts off the blood supply to the limb. And so we were having to do surgery in the ICU in order to save those limbs. And so we had a burn surgeon who'd come up from Adelaide operating in the ICU, as well as what was going on in the operating theatre.
Professor Stevens was head of the hospital's 8-bed intensive care unit that expanded out to treat 20 critically ill patients. Like many, she worked through a busy 72 hours until the patients could be medevaced out to larger hospitals closer to their homes.
65 critically injured patients in a tiny, you know, hospital in the middle of nowhere, really. It's like, that's amazing what we did. And it was the biggest error medical retrieval that had been done in the history of Australia. It was just, it was extraordinary.
Professor Len Notaris, who led the response as the head of the Royal Darwin Hospital, is now the executive director of the federally funded National Critical Care and Trauma Response Centre. Established in Darwin after the 2002 Bali bombings, he says the facility is an enduring legacy of that time.
Every single person evacuated from Royal Darwin Hospital became, they had an opportunity to live, an opportunity to survive, because it might be 20 years later, but there are still people suffering from burns, suffering from post-traumatic stress, suffering also from the loss of loved ones. The knowledge, why did this happen? That's 20 years later. That doesn't go away.
For survivor Peter Hughes, it's a welcome investment.
You know, the conduit back from Bali to Darwin saved my life and saved many others, and I just can't thank them enough.